Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
As a human being, you are not one of them.
Folks, welcome back to the Light of Day radio show with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We have Jay Widener on the line. I have him currently muted until I'm done reading his bio. Anyway, I appreciate him staying up for a little interview here. Jay Widener, called by Wired Magazine, an authority on the hermetic and alchemical traditions and erudite conspiracy hunter. Jay Widener is a renowned author, filmmaker, and hermetic scholar, considered to be a modern-day Indiana Jones for his ongoing worldwide quest to find clues to mankind's spiritual destiny via ancient societies and artifacts. His body of work offers great insight into the circumstances that have led to the current global crisis. He is a producer of the documentary films 2012, The Odyssey, and its sequel, Time Wave 2013. I didn't even know there was a sequel to 2012. And he's director of the forthcoming feature documentary, Infinity, The Ultimate Trip. Jay was featured in the History Channel's documentary, The Lost Book of Nostradamus, and was associate producer and featured in the History Channel's special, Nostradamus 2012. In addition, he's the co-author of The Mysteries of the Great Cross of I don't know how to pronounce it. And a monument to the end of time with Vincent Bridges, as well as a contributing writer for the book The Mystery of 2012. In 1999, together with his wife Sharon Rose, he founded Sacred Mysteries, for which he has directed 8 films in the current The Sacred Mysteries DVD collection, including Secrets of Alchemy, a documentary based upon his research in alchemy, The Cross of Hen Day, and The End of Time. End of Time, Art Mind, featuring the work of Alex Gray, Healing the Luminous Body with Alberto Velotto, Quantum Astrology with Rick Levine, and more. Boy, some of these words I have a hard time pronouncing for some reason, but he's got quite a bio. He was a public affairs director at KCMU-FM in Seattle. He also produced and hosted the weekly radio show Mind Over Matters. Wow, I didn't even know that. Where he interviewed a who's who of dynamic and important personalities such as Richard Hoagland, Noam Chomsky, Terrence McKenna, Peter Scott, and many others. Now, I didn't know anything about Jay Widener, folks, until I seen him featured as Jesse Ventura's guide in this True TV episode done called Apocalypse 2012. And by the way, that's the only one I watched. Ventura did like 6 or 7 episodes, but that last one is pretty good, even though he doesn't really get to the root cause of what's causing the impending solar storms coming our way. The the focus of Planet X is the sun, folks. And, you know, of course, they can't air that on mainstream TV. But anyway, we're going to bring Jay Widener on right now. Hello, Jay. Welcome to the Light of Day show.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Sheldon.
Well, thanks for coming on board. Sorry for keeping you up so late. I really appreciate you coming on here. I seen you on acting as Jesse Ventura's guide there on that True TV episode, and the $64 million question I think I wanted to ask you was, when you were driving in that car outside the Denver airport, I think you guys were leaving the place, it showed these long concrete rectangular tunnels above the ground that were supposedly being used to still construct the underground facility there. Was that actually current footage, or is that something from like 15 or 20 years ago?
No, that was some stuff that was just laying there. They gave us permission to drive all around the entire area of the Denver airport, which is the size of Manhattan. And I have no idea why they gave us the permission, but they did, and we were able to go out to areas where no one else was allowed to go because of security reasons, and we found these huge tunnel constructs that were obviously going to be placed underground and buried eventually somewhere around in the facility.
Yeah, if you recall, right at the very end of that that episode, they show a long list of contractors that refused to speak on camera. Well, I actually called a few of them up. I did my own research, and at least one of them was absolutely hesitant to make any comments to the media about anything they do, and the other ones I just got runarounds and voicemails, so it wasn't very forthcoming.
No, you won't get anything out of anybody because it's national security. And you know, so people who don't think it's real, that's fine, you know, but for those of us who know what's going on, we know that this is exactly what the elites are, you know, would do, and you can't really blame them. I mean, somebody's got to stay alive and protected in a time of an emergency, so I really don't hold it against them for doing it. I just wish they'd tell us the truth about it.
Fair enough. In your personal opinion, why do you think the elite are going underground underneath the Denver airport?
Well, I mean, it goes back to my original research into the Cross of Henday. The Freemasons are not just an organization that meets and has business meetings and things. They're an organization that goes back quite a number of years, and actually centuries. And their main reason for aggregating is that they are passing along a secret that that is so important that they created a secret society in order to successfully pass down this secret. And this secret is that every 12,000 years, the electromagnetics of the solar system reverse, I guess you could say. They flip. And the sun's electromagnetic field is in the process of flipping right now, and when it flips, there's going to be a commensurate flip in the Earth's magnetic field, and probably the other planets that have magnetic fields will also flip. And this will be, the first signs of this will be gigantic coronal mass ejections, which will be coming out of the sun as the electromagnetic field tries to right itself. And so we'll get what should happen as we approach this electromagnetic field reversal is that we will get what I call crustal torque here on Earth. So a couple of years before the magnetic reversal, we should start seeing unusual volcanic activity, strange earthquakes happening, sinkholes suddenly appearing everywhere on Earth at the same time, strange anomalies, mine shaft disasters, probably deep oil rig pipes will break as the crust torques and busts the pipes. Things like that will start happening. And when I finished my research in 99, I said to my good friend John Major Dinkins that if by 2010 we start seeing activity like this, then we not only know we're right, but we know that the brown sticky stuff is about to hit the spinning receptacle. And indeed, here we stand in 2010, 20 years, you know, for 10 years, 11 years after I've done finished my research. And
hang on, we're coming to the break. Just have a short 3-minute break here. Welcome, folks, listening to the live Dan Orion. Please stay tuned. Folks, welcome back to the Light of Day with your host Sheldon Day and the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, July 24th, 2010, with our special guest Jay Widener. So sorry to interrupt you there, Jay, but we had to do our 3-minute break. Did you know that Ventura is going to recontinue this True TV series later this year or early next year?
Yeah, I did hear that. Yeah, he got renewed on the contract, so we're very happy.
Do you know when about that's supposed to air again?
I don't know, but I would suspect probably September or October, but I don't know. They may wait until January or something. Nowadays everybody's looking for in TV is looking for time slots where nothing is going on so they can premiere their shows. So unlike in the old days where they would all premiere everything in September or January, now everybody's skipping around trying to find a time zone when nobody's really putting anything new out so they can slip their new products in. So the whole biz has really changed over the last 10 years, and with the Internet, it's really going to get weirder. But, Jesse did a pretty good job with that show. His 911 episode was incredible. And he stormed the FBI office and put the FBI right on the spot about 911. So kudos to Jesse. Thank God he's doing something.
Yeah, now I see when I was reading your bio that you were actually the producer for the 2012 movie, which was the follow-up to 2001?
No. 2012, The Odyssey, was a hit documentary that came out about 4 years ago, and it was the first 2012 movie that came out, and then we put out the sequel, Time Wave 2013.
Okay, because I don't know if you ever heard of Marshall Masters, but he was on some interview, and he said that on that, have you seen 2010?
The movie Contact 2010?
Yeah, it was like put out back in the earlier mid '80s. It was a sequel to 2001.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, he said in that movie, it actually shows two suns in the sky, and that's really something because Planet X is actually a brown dwarf star, and maybe they're trying to tell us something there.
Well, no, in the movie and in the book, 2010 by Arthur C. Clarke, which that movie is based on, is about Saturn igniting into a second sun, and. That's why there's two suns in the sky. It was originally supposed to be Saturn, but they had to change it. And if it had been Saturn, then that would have been very interesting because, you know, Saturn is Lucifer, who's the bearer of light and all of that. So I don't know, you know. But my friend Richard Hoagland wrote is thanked by Arthur C. Clarke for giving him the idea in 2010, so. Interesting.
Wow. Richard Hoagland, he doesn't he doesn't think this Planet X thing is real. But I forwarded that email on to Hoagland to someone else, and they were laughing because Hoagland has told these friends of mine that he thinks Planet X is real. What are your thoughts on Planet X?
Well, I don't really have that many thoughts on it. I know Richard probably doesn't believe it, because it would, I don't know, you know, what his thoughts are, but I have a feeling he doesn't believe it. I don't really have any feelings on it. There's not any historical record outside of what Sitchin has found, that I've seen. But other than that, I can't really say. I mean, it seems improbable that there's a planet with aliens living on it that comes by every 3,600 years. But, you know, what do I know? I mean, you know, the moon is hollow, so, you know, anything can happen in this world. You know, the older I get, the more I know, the less I know. So, I really, you know, the jury's out as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you, actually, about Zachariah Sitchin. He's former military. I think that the elite are utilizing him to spread this information about aliens on this 12th planet, because my thoughts on it are, as Planet X gets closer, they're going to start telling the people. They may stage this fake ET UFO thing and tell them, you know, the masses are going to have some kind of sense of hope if this Planet X is coming here to cause all these Earth cataclysms. So they might start telling the public, oh, here comes this 12th planet with these aliens on it, and they'll be here to protect us from that. So I'm on the same page.
Yeah, well, they definitely like to use things to act as if they are our saviors. So I fully expect, you know, Obama didn't work as our savior, so they'll try something else here soon to make us think that something is going to save us, so that none of us try to do anything to save ourselves, which is exactly the plan. And that's why they built Denver Airport, so they can go underground while we all kill each other fighting for the last scraps of food and water and the rest of it. And I say that these guys are criminals, and we ought to do everything we can to prosecute them before Planet X gets here.
Yeah, did you see they recently arrested Richard Sauter? He's the guy that public mouthpiece on exposing the underground bases.
Well, he is, and that was very interesting, and I have a sneaking suspicion a lot of us are going to get arrested here in the next few months, I think.
Wouldn't surprise me one bit.
No, me either.
Do you primarily think the elite are going underground then to evade the solar scorching that'll be occurring, right?
Well, we know that the solar scorching occurred. I mean, we know that 12,000 years ago, something ignited all of the forests in North America, you know, in Canada and the United States, and essentially they burned down. I'm talking about, you know, all the way from the east coast of Canada and the United States all the way to, you know, the central part of the country. So we're talking about, you know, millions and millions of acres of old growth forest was ignited, and there's a foot and a half of ash down 12,000 years ago. And so we know that this happened. One of the things that we've seen on doing photographic surveys of the moon is that it got scorched 12,000 years ago. And also, of course, there was dramatic extinctions 12,000 years ago, and then we can look through the record and we find that every 12,000 years or so this thing occurs, and it's a big event, and the elites are elites because they know of this, because they're members of a secret society that's, you know, passed down this information. They became the elites because they are more organized than the rest of us, and so they are the elites because they know what's really going on. And so for sure they're doing a lot more than just building deep underground military bases. They're also getting off planet, and they're moving to planets where there are no electromagnetic fields so that they don't have to deal with the commensurate crustal torque that's caused by the electromagnetic flux. You know,
Yeah, there's the break again. Sorry, Jay, but we got to take the bottom of the hour break here. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Dan Orion. Please stay tuned.
Guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the Light of Day radio show with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, July 24th. We have Jay Widener on the line. I did want to mention, Jay, that recently got an email here from somebody that shows one of these murals on the walls at the Denver airport, and it shows a whale in oil. Have you seen that one?
Well, I don't know if he's in oil, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he's part of the extinction panel that's on at the airport, which is a very odd and disturbing piece of artwork. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Do you know how long that piece of artwork has been there?
94 maybe, or 95 it was put in.
Oh, wow. Because I heard that some of the murals they've actually taken out and they've changed at least 3 or 4 times. Is that true?
No. I've been following this since the airport opened, and no, they haven't changed it. The artist, Leo Tenguma, who may or may not be a Mayan, he won't cop to it either way, but... you know, he's changed his story. He originally said in 95 that he was told exactly what to paint on those murals, and now he's saying that he chose what to paint. But, you know, that strikes me as a bit incongruous because you're dealing with an airport that costs, you know, $8 billion at least, and I doubt very much whether they just would let any artist come in and willy-nilly paint anything they want. And I'm sure that he was told exactly what to paint.
Have you seen this video presentation that this guy named Lucas has done?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I'd really encourage you to watch that. He's got a website called therabbithole2.com, and he's got a presentation you can watch. He talks about the Denver airport and how the roof is made of this NASA-designed Kevlar material and how these cables that run down to the ground could be could function as giant lightning rod arresters from solar storms. He's got some neat tidbits in there.
Oh, that's pretty interesting, yeah. Well, the Kevlar covering is for tornadoes, they say, in the area. It is Tornado Alley, so I don't know why they would build an airport, you know, in Tornado Alley, but they decided to do it. And to keep the building from pressurizing in the shifting pressure of a tornado, they put that Kevlar up. So it's really just a big tent, the airport is. But it's very interesting. The whole airport is incredibly fascinating and totally unbelievable. I mean, it's literally the size of Manhattan. There's no hotels nearby. You have to drive miles and miles to get to a hotel, which is totally unlike any other airport. So you really can't spend the night at the airport looking around if you wanted to, say. So, and then I've gotten emails from my various appearances on George Norrie and Jesse, et cetera, from people who live in the area, and they tell me that for years they heard digging going on underground, which has now sort of slowed down and stopped. But they were basically digging tunnels to the Rockies, but also to other areas, northern New Mexico and a few other places where they have these highly protected bunkers way down there to protect them from a number of things. However, you know, I don't really think the underground things are going to help very much. But, you know, what do I know?
What do you think they've been doing with all these space shuttle missions? Do you think they've been up there actually watching something come in? What do you think about that?
Well, then definitely 90% of the space shuttle missions are military, and we don't know what they're doing. They're totally classified. I would say that, my opinion, the number one reason for NASA's existence is to explore nearby worlds and outer space in order to find definitive proof of a cyclic catastrophe, to confirm what the Freemasons had passed down. And they found their evidence within 10 years of the inception of NASA. So they know now that prophecies and the knowledge that has been successfully passed down is accurate. There is a periodic solar storm that literally wipes everything out on the planet, rearranges the geology, the continents, everything. And the fifth time that this happens, which is this time, the fifth sun of the Maya, that's the worst. That's the bad one. The other four are just like little burps, but this is a full-scale convulsion. And so this is the one that they've been waiting for 60,000 years. And it's coming at us, and sinkholes are appearing every day all over the world, and the crust is moving, and so we're in for a real rock and roll ride here. Let's get ready for the show of the millennium, or maybe many millennium.
Well, that's a really interesting viewpoint about NASA. I really appreciate you sharing that. You know, they've been hauling all this cargo up to the space station. Well, what do you think that's about? Do you think that's like a safe haven for the elite to go to when things are all going to hell down here?
Oh, no. The elites are moving to Mars, the real elites. You can go type Google in Hale Crater Civilization and see the colony that they have on Mars. And they have several colonies, and they've been going to Mars since 59 in their UFOs. And they've been moving cargo and slaves and everything up to Mars because it doesn't have an electromagnetic field. So it's not going to torque out as much as the Earth will. And, of course, Mars doesn't have oceans, so there's not going to be the giant tidal waves or anything. And also Mars does not have tectonic plates. So there's not going to be a lot of activity moving around on the surface of Mars. But they're going underground on Mars also. There's been, you know, a transference of people going back and forth from Mars for a long, long time.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me one bit. I remember before they murdered the former U.S. naval whistleblower, Bill Cooper, he was showing these presentations back in the earlier mid-90s about these bases underground on the moon.
Oh, yeah, there's bases on the moon. Aristarchus Crater has a gigantic dome over it. An amateur photographer took that picture just a few months ago. You can Google an Aristarchus Crater amateur astronomer, and you can see the picture of this blue dome hanging out over Aristarchus. So, I mean, this stuff has been going on a long time. We're ruled by a very advanced group of humans who do not have our interests at heart.
Wow, there may be more truth than what I realized with the stuff John Lear's been putting out then, too. He gets into a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, John Lear knows what's going on. Everybody is all beginning to reach the very same damning conclusions as we get closer and closer to this point. The question is, now is there enough time for us to save ourselves, or is it all over? And I can't answer that question.
Wow, you mentioned these sinkholes before. Do you know why a lot of these sinkholes look perfectly rounded? I mean, it's almost as if something like a laser would do from orbit or something.
No, this is the crust torquing. David Sarides has done incredible work correlating solar activity with crustal movement on the Earth, and every time there's a solar flare, there's a commensurate volcano or earthquake. And what you're seeing as we approach solar maximum here in 2012 is you're going to see a huge amount of this kind of crustal movement and torque, maybe even to the extent where whole continents are being moved around. So this is the big one. We're rocking and rolling. And, if in six months it's even worse than it is now, then I think you have to say that this is exactly what's going on.
Well, hey, we're coming to break, Jay. Boy, this is fascinating. Just hang on there for 3 minutes and we'll wrap this up. There's only one segment left. You're listening to The Light of Day on Orion with Sheldon Day. Please stay tuned. Hello, folks. Welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live Saturday night, July 24th, on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We still have Jay Widener on the line to wrap this up with show segment number 4. This has been a fascinating interview with Jay. He just puts it out on the table like it is. He doesn't hold back on anything. Mr. Widener, have you heard about this new sunspot that just erupted on the sun?
No, I haven't. That's a good sign, because there hasn't been much sunspot activity in the last 2 years.
Yeah, I was actually interviewed on a blog talk radio show Friday, and the host of the show I was interviewed on mentioned the new sunspot that could unleash a deadly X-class flare. I was just wondering if you heard about it.
Well, the sun's been acting very strange for 2 or 3 years now, and it's just more confirmation that there's something big is going on, and you know, the fact that NASA sent up so many different satellites to watch the sun in the last 10-12 years is even more evidence that they're concerned about something. So we're heading into this time period where there's going to be a major change, and I think we're going to see things that we've never expected very soon, actually.
Initially, NASA said that these solar storms would happen between now and 2012, but now recently they put out a release that they're putting it off until 2013. Why do you think they're doing that?
Well, I don't know, because that doesn't make any sense. What the problem is that the solar maximum should have actually started already, and it hasn't. We should be getting many, many sunspots. We should have started a year or two ago getting a lot of sunspots as we approached the solar maximum of 2012, and we're not getting them. And I think that's perplexing the scientists at NASA, and so they're decided to put off solar maximum till 2013, but they're completely misreading the evidence. The evidence isn't that because there's a lack of sunspots, there's going to be a less solar maximum. In fact, it's the exact opposite. The lesser amount of sunspots means that when this sucker blows, it is going to be serious. The pressure is building underneath the surface of the sun to such an extent now, and it hasn't been getting eased off by blowing out minor solar flares via the sunspots. So I think that what you're seeing here is the equivalent of a pan padlocked with a lid padlocked on it on a stove, and the stove is getting hotter and hotter, and they're saying, oh, well, the lid hasn't come off, I guess everything's okay. And I'm saying, no, when that lid blows, it's going to be like shrapnel. And I think that those in the know in NASA understand this, but the underlings who put out the press releases, they're not the brightest of dudes, and possibly they don't really understand what's going on here. But if we don't start getting a lot of sunspot activity in the next 6 months, I would be very, very afraid of what's about to happen.
I recently heard Professor James McCanney on one of his shows state that the reason NASA is putting out what he calls fear-mongering about solar storms is because there's hardly any activity going on in the sun, and they need more funding. So he thinks that's why they're fear-mongering with the impending solar storms.
Well, I don't know. The side of the sun that has the largest solar activity is going to be pointed directly at the Earth in 2012. At the moment of maximum solar maximum. So, the chances are that if there's going to be a big blowout, it's going to happen then. But who knows? Maybe nothing will happen. I mean, we don't know. But what's going on with the sun is completely strange. And anyone who's been watching the sun for a long time like me knows that we have never seen the lack of activity that we are seeing right now, and that is a cause for great concern.
I recently heard Mitch Batros on the Coast to Coast show with Nori there say that there's a new phenomenon now that they're observing, that the C-class flares, which are normally less deadlier than, you know, the X-class flares, are now considered more deadlier. Is that true?
Well, I think they're finding that there's just these gigantic gamma ray releases and things, and they don't understand it. You know, the UV readings on the Earth are just, you know, going off the charts. I don't know if you know that, but especially this summer. I mean, it is actually dangerous to be outside in 95% of the United States right now. And I mean highly dangerous. The UV readings are off the charts in Arizona and Texas and Florida and Southern California. If you live in the Pacific Northwest, you're a little safer like I do, but because we have cloud cover. But it is outrageous. What they were scaling at 5 years ago is now double that right now, and they're really not telling anybody.
Yeah, I recently got an email here from somebody that they recently had to revise the ultraviolet scale with a new number. It goes up to either 12 or 14 now?
14, yeah. It goes up to 14 because they never even hit 10 5 years ago, and now the whole entire southern half of the United States and Mexico is at 10, and they don't have anything higher, and so they have to raise it higher, and because there's no way you can get an accurate measurement of the UV, and this is all part of the whole thing, you know. All the planets in the solar system are heating up right now. It's not just the Earth. And right now we're getting record temperatures across the northern hemisphere after getting a record lows in the winter. And so what we're seeing is wild variations in temperature. We're seeing a lot of crustal movement. We're seeing a lot of odd volcanoes. We're seeing sinkholes appearing everywhere. This is all one thing going on, not a series of isolated incidences. And so I think it's a great cause for concern, and I hope people are taking the time to protect themselves and their families.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen this, but either yesterday or today, around the Philippine Islands, they're having quakes as high as 7.6, but I don't know if you know this or not, but whatever the USGS is feeding the public, it's actually one full point value higher than what they're telling us. So if that's true, we're seeing up to 8.6 around the Philippine Islands right now.
Well, I believe that, actually. I believe that they probably are massaging the data so that things don't look quite as bad, because even they are beginning to wonder, these hardcore realists, they think, are beginning to wonder what the hell is going on here. And they're pulling their hair out because they can't believe that a bunch of woo-woo wackos like me are actually calling the shots. And it really doesn't make them very happy. And so they're not that they're lying, they're trying to prove to themselves that it's really not happening. But it is.
What are your thoughts about this Gulf oil mega disaster? Me and my Planet X researcher friend John DiNardo, we tend to think that this is actually a land mass that started rising in the Gulf, because they were using satellite imaging 3 years ago to see that land masses would be rising in the Gulf. Me and John DiNardo, we think that was actually an undersea oil volcano rising, and they decided to tap into it for great oil drilling opportunities, and they'd rather cause the disaster because they don't want the public to figure out that these natural disasters are happening all over the place. What do you think of that?
Oh, that probably could be true. The fact that it's, you know, exactly 120 degrees west of the Great Pyramid of Giza, right where this occurred, is it's one tetrahedral movement away, you know. Sure, that would be exactly where I would expect the land mass to start rising. So I think you're going to see a lot more of that. The land in Australia had a 13-foot rise in the surface. So you're seeing a lot of this going on, and I think it's, at a certain point we've just got to say to ourselves, you know, this is really happening. This isn't some fantasy. This is really going on. There's something incredible happening. The elites know it, and we don't. And it's time that we learn it. And, you know, whether it's Planet X or it's electromagnetic disturbance or it's all of the above, is not as important as what we're going to do about it.
Hey, Jay, the show is all done. Thanks for coming on board. You folks can go to jaywidener.com. And thanks a lot for coming on board. I really enjoyed it, Jay.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Good night, Jay. Okay, folks, there's the show. You've been listening to The Light of Day on Orion. We'll be back next week. Later.
Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Big Shot of the Milliwatt. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.